Thank you. There it is, page down. Most of you are familiar with the long-term soil productivity study, which is a network of research sites across the U.S. and Canada, and I think we have a few other sites elsewhere, not on this map, which is interested in looking at what are the basic controls on forest productivity. And the research generally involves manipulating organic matter, soil organic matter, and porosity through compaction treatments. Also within the network are a series of affiliated sites, and I would point to these two here in West Virginia, and these are sites that I've been working on with Jim Berger and others over the years, looking at controls on productivity, and we're particularly interested in the idea of calcium magnesium removal, base cation removal, and possibly these being limiting to tree growth and to productivity of the forest. We've heard some talks about acid rain. This research comes out of some of our experience from our watershed acidification study, where we've been adding ammonium sulfate fertilizer to a forested watershed since 1989. And what we've learned from the acidification study we applied to the long-term soil productivity studies in West Virginia. Our goals for the project are, first of all, just to characterize this forest system that we think would be sensitive to removals of calcium and magnesium. Secondly, then we wanted to determine the response of this forest community to removing the calcium and magnesium, to trying to create a limitation or deficiency condition. And then we want to work with the models existing and create new ones to look at the effects and be able to predict them in response to changing nutrient levels and the idea of potentially mitigating lime additions. So there are two sites, one on Fork Mountain, which is on the Furneaux Experimental Forest, which started in 1996. This one is the one I'm going to be talking about today is the Middle Mountain LTSP site, which is about 2.5 hours southeast of the Furneaux Experimental Forest in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, which if you've never been there, you won't believe what I'm talking about, but it is fairly isolated. These are really rocky skeletal soils, spodic distrudepths of the Mandy series, with around 1,200 meters in elevation, mostly ridgetop sites, and about 138 centimeters of precipitation annually. This is Jim Berger and Lucien Zelazny helping John Flegel, our NRCS person, our local NRCS person, describe these soils in the middle of a lovely April snowstorm. It's a black cherry maple forest type with a reasonable amount of red spruce in it. We're high enough elevation that we're getting red spruce in with these forests. It's mostly red maple, not so much sugar maple, although there is some reasonable productivity, but not exceptionally high. A lot of stems per acre on these sites, though. And a long history of deer browse, which might be significant. So on the site, we have four blocks of five treatments, and one is just an uncut reference. Our plots are, our treatment plots are an acre in size with a buffer around, and our uncut reference is just that. We have a whole tree only where we removed everything above ground, all the wood above ground, whole tree with lime, where we did the whole tree harvest, and then we've been adding lime. I'll give you the rates in a minute. A whole tree plus adding back ammonium sulfate fertilizer, and then one with the whole tree plus fertilizer plus lime. We have four treatments over at the Middle Mountain site. We didn't have room to put in this whole tree plus lime treatment, so that's a significant difference between the two sites. We've been adding ammonium sulfate fertilizer since 1998, And these are the rates that we've been adding: 35 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, 40 kilograms of sulfur, and then adding back to that subset of plots when we've been adding lime, 22 kilograms of calcium and 12 kilograms of magnesium per hectare per year. And this is what the site looks like when you remove everything off. These levels of calcium and magnesium are twice the levels that are coming out in stream water. And so that's how we picked that level. And the ammonium sulfate is what we're using on our watershed acidification study. So we measured as much as we could beforehand, given that we're in the middle of nowhere, and there's no electricity, yada, yada, yada. Post-treatment, we measure almost everything, not as many as we'd like. What I'm going to talk about today are some of our 15-year results. Particularly, I looked at the soils, and we looked at the forest floor, with apologies to Dan Binkley. I still think of it that way, but we did separate it out, the OI and then the OE plus the OA together, because our forest floors are reasonably shallow. And then looked at the mineral soil, 0 to 15, 15 to 30, 30 to 45, which are approximately our horizons, Chris, but not exactly. And we've done a lot of we've looked at all of the nutrients, but I'll be mostly focusing today on just a few of them. In a nutshell, we saw some changes in soil nutrients between 1997 and 2012, not surprising. There are some significant treatment differences after the 15 years of treatment. Basically, liming made a difference, fertilization sort of. And what I'm going to show in the next few slides are focusing on calcium and magnesium and then nitrogen. Mostly in the mineral soil, I'm looking at the 15 to 30 centimeter depth and at our O horizons. So this slide shows stratigraphical calcium concentrations in the 15 to 30 centimeter depth. This hatched bar is 1997 levels, and the solid blue bar are the 2012 levels. And somebody pointed out that it's not actually 15 years, it's 14, but that's okay. This pattern, in analyzing statistically, we are comparing among the treatments, and the reference really is, at this point, for reference, just for comparative purposes. So we see this pattern of increasing or elevated calcium concentrations in the B horizon, the 15 to 30 centimeter depth, as a result of the treatment. As I think Chris said this morning, gee, Captain Obvious, that's not that surprising. We're adding fertilizer or we're adding lime, and we're seeing it showing up in the B horizon of the soil. That might be just a bit surprising. The calcium levels were higher in the whole tree and lime, and in those that received whole tree or the whole tree plus fertilizer plus lime. So the liming made a difference. These differences were, you can see the same pattern in this upper horizon, and this graph shows those 15 to 30, and then the hatched bars are actually the lowest horizon, the 30 to 45. We see the same pattern to depth, but it's not statistically significant. And the pattern is the same in the litter, or the forest floor layer, but it was not statistically significant in the OE and the OA combined. Interestingly, to me, magnesium showed the same pattern. We're adding magnesium in the dolomitic lime, so maybe that's not surprising again, but it's the same pattern. And we see decreases in magnesium levels, not necessarily statistically significant, from 1997, except where we've added lime back. If we look at nitrogen concentration, we saw that the fertilizer, adding the nitrogen, the ammonium sulfate fertilizer, resulted in higher concentrations. This is the A horizon, or the 0 to 15. This is the 15 to 30, and the hatched is the 30 to 45. We significantly increase the nitrogen concentration in the upper two layers of the mineral soil, but not in the 30 to 45 centimeter, nor in the O-horizons, which was also perhaps a little surprising. We did see a decrease in the forest floor mass over time, which given that we did the whole tree harvest, that's not surprising, but we also saw it even in our reference plots. So lime appears to be the bigger story for this site. Both calcium and magnesium increased in the mineral soil and in the organic soil to some extent. What was somewhat surprising was that this was much more obvious than at the Fork Mountain site, which is much closer and easier to get to, so we've done a lot more research or done many more measurements on the Fork Mountain site. The Fork Mountain site is driven by nitrogen. The changes that we see are clearly driven by nitrogen, whereas this might be an acidification or a calcium or magnesium limitation. Well, what do the vegetation tell us? The canopy is not entirely closed yet on the Middle Mountain site yet. I was really excited when I started plotting these data because this is the herb layer, or it's herb layer plus. It's clip plot data, biomass that we have clipped every 5 years when we've done the measurements, and anything in our clip plot, an inch in diameter or less, ends up in this plot. So you can see this is the reference plots. There's no change in the herb layer, really, which you wouldn't necessarily expect because we're not changing the light significantly, or we shouldn't be changing the light reaching the forest floor under there. Right after the harvesting, you see an increase in the mass of the herb layer, and then it peaks. And decreases in all of these treatments. It flattens out in the whole tree plus fertilizer plus lime. It also flattens out in the whole tree only harvest or level, but it's lower than this. So I thought, aha, well, we've got a fertilizer, a lime effect on vegetation mass. But there's another explanation, which is very simply that we've made the vegetation on these plots so yummy that the deer are preventing it from growing up and reaching a crown closure. So it may be actually just a delay in crown closure or succession. We're also looking at diversity. These are some data that were recently published by Frank Gilliam and the rest of our group in Ecosphere, showing changes in herb layer diversity over time as a result of nitrogen additions. And Chris Walter, who's just started a postdoc up at University of Minnesota, has also shown similar response on the Fork Mountain LTSP. So we're looking forward to testing this in more detail on Middle Mountain. And finally, what's next? Well, next summer, I get to do the 20-year measurements on the Middle Mountain and sampling on the Middle Mountain site, and we will continue to tease out some of these questions. So thank you, and if I have time, I'd like a question or two. Yeah, any questions? Yes. There. Yes. One of the PhD students was looking at above ground carbon allocation or carbon stocks. And on the Fork Mountain site, what he's shown is an increase the fertilization, mostly the nitrogen, has increased the above ground carbon storage, carbon pools above ground on that site. We don't really have the trees yet on this site. I mean, it's not as productive as the Fork Mountain site. Biomass is lower. Nutrients in the soil are just a little bit lower, not a lot. But anyway, so we are looking at that, and I've got a student working on modeling growth and diversity of the stand over time.
Your calcium data are really interesting at the beginning of your talk. Your reference sites showed a decrease in extractable calcium, but your whole pre-harvest site was flat. So the treatment, the harvesting effect seems to have been to preserve the extractable calcium. Do you think that was slash and the stumps decaying, or what kept the calcium in the soil, do you think?
It's not likely to be slash because we did a pretty good job of removing that. We did not disturb the forest floor. I mean, we minimized the disturbance to the forest floor. And so it most likely is whatever was left on site was, at least for the, it could have been the stumps. We didn't pull stumps. We did not do that. Stumps and whatever we left on the site. That seems to make sense. Thank you.
Keep moving on for the last talk. Sorry.
Thank you.